Hi everyone, I'm Robert, the host of the Metal Meltdown. Some people call me Uncle Melty, and I like to make videos about music. I like to talk about music, and we do a lot of album reviews. We've done interviews with some of the guys from Cattle Decapitation, Revocation, Gwar, Voivod, Lorna Shore, Devin Townsend, and Brendan Small. We do silly live streams ourselves, albeit probably far more chaotic than what rock does. And we just like to have fun and talk about music. And sometimes I piss people off in the process, but that's life. So, yeah, that's me. How are you? What's up? What are y'all all about? What's going on?
I'm doing well. Chat's doing well now that they can hear me. They couldn't hear me before, just for a couple seconds for the intro, but that's okay because he introduced himself. Now you can hear me. Thank you all for panicking in the chat. It's now good. Now I see some
Hell
other people
yeah.
saying huge Metal Meltdown fanboy here. There's some other people really giving their thoughts on the Metal Meltdown with support for Uncle Melty. If you're still not familiar, click on the description of
Wow.
this live stream and you can get a direct link to his channel and hit subscribe. Every time you subscribe to
That's
the Metal
wild.
Meltdown while the stream is going on, your credit score will jump up 20 points and you will lose 5 pounds.
That's a fact. I can vouch for that. That's 100% a fact.
We did a lot of science and it's confirmed, so if you're not subscribed yet, now's your time to do
You do not want to know how much money I spent on that study. It's. I'm in trouble.
The people that got the placebos were really mad, but they'll be
Yeah.
okay.
We'll deal with the consequences of that come tax season though. So it's fine for now. I mean, fine.
I can't even, I know your taxes are different than ours. All I know is if we ever even we my wife and I just got the nice nasty gram in that mail 2 months after we filed our taxes saying, "Oh, by the way, you owe an extra $200." Did it say why? No. Did it have a breakdown? No. It just had a link to pay.
Damn.
That's
Well,
it. So
Canadian taxes are pretty easy. They're just kind of like, "Hey, did you remember to not steal stuff this year? Did you remember to not be evil?" And I'm just like, "Yeah, I'm fine. Don't worry about me." And they're like, "Cool." But I actually have to file American taxes because of YouTube.
yes.
So going through the IRS is a real pain in the fucking ass.
Like we have problems with it.
Unbelievable.
Like I think you have, do you have Patreon?
No, I don't use Patreon.
Okay, probably for the best because international Patreon I've heard is a nightmare, let alone
God
whatever
damn.
Google and YouTube stuff do. I've had friends from UK and Canada say Patreon because it's based in California is the worst. Like you might as well go get an what is it called? Public accounting degree, like accounting degree, just to figure out all the IRS and taxes stuff.
Holy shit, no
So,
way.
yeah. So, yeah.
God, that's
So,
fucking insane.
now that we've complained about the US taxes, now that we're off to a good start of rock as
Which is
normal.
obviously the content y'all tuned in for.
You know
Obviously.
what's not metal? Uncle Sam, am I right? I don't have the
Hell,
sound
unironically,
effects.
hell yeah.
I don't have the sound effects ready. I would have hit the foghorn at that. So,
God damn, you got sound effects. All
I'd
right. I
use
usually just
all.
make my own on the Metal
Man, I
Meltdown.
used to have more, but after I rebuilt my computer, I just haven't done it yet. So, and it's a pain. Yeah, whatever. I have so many other things I need to do, just haven't gotten to it yet. So, what is this? Well, we're just going to sit here and talk about music, what we like, what we don't like, things in the music industry, YouTube, what we like about, don't like about YouTube. This is meant to be informal and casual. Do not expect a structure or a serious, dedicated breakdown of something. If you have questions, we'll try to cover them. If you have super chats, we will cover them. Anything you'd like to get out there before we get started about anything? Or is there anyone in the chat you'd like to direct? I don't know if you have chat up, but you got a lot of Metal
I should
Meltdown
read
love
it, come to
here.
think of it.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
All hail Uncle Melty. Yeah.
Player says I'm honored to be a Metal Meltdown fanboy, honestly. Hell yeah, Nick Bobo. I want to see a rock coliseum with rock metal trenches, Mad Mike, and the Metal Meltdown. All right,
Okay.
shit.
Would that just be an us
Pablo.
screaming match and then like in 30 minutes like into
Dude, that would be awesome, unironically. I'm new to Metal
it?
Meltdown, unfortunately. I feel like I'm out of the loop. That's okay. It's a pleasure to meet you. Get on
Yes.
in that loop. It's all good. No worries.
That's the whole point of this too. So our audiences can meet each other and we could prove that YouTubers can be friends along with their audiences too. I'm doing a video, I'm researching Warped Tour. Like all the drama and stuff that happened to Warped Tour in the 2010s. I worked three of them and I'm seeing everyone hated each other. The bands, the fans, the staff.
Really?
It was like near the tail end of Warped Tour in the 2010s. It was brutal. There were bands that were going to Kevin Lyman saying, "We're not going to be a part of Warped Tour if they're a part of Warped Tour." And that's only the tip of the iceberg. It got like that. So yeah, Warped Tour was a mess. Warped Tour was a mess. And that's me at the lights.
I never went to Warped Tour, but I always remember like looking at those lineups back in the day. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of in like this, when I was younger, I was a full blown metal elitist. Like if it okay. wasn't thrash, I didn't give a shit.
Okay.
But like, even just looking at those, even looking at those lineups, like not even being, oh, there's no thrash bands or whatever. I remember just looking at those lineups and being like, who the fuck is this for? There's pop punk bands and yes. post-hardcore bands. Jeffree Star was on it 1 year. Blood yes. on the Dance Floor. Black Eyed Peas headlined it 1 year, didn't they?
Katy Perry was also on there 1 year.
It's just like, who is this for? There's mm-hmm. no consistency or cohesion to this. Like, what's going on?
You bring up a great point, because I'm going to show on screen the lineups from 1996 and 2016. 2016 being the first year I ever worked with it. 1996 was only a couple stages and then all the skateboarding halfpipe stuff, but they all were punk. You could make an argument that they were all belong together. It was community. 2016, punk, pop punk, emo, deathcore, metalcore, thrash. I'm pretty sure they had some like full on electropop stuff too. It was everything you can think of, and it only got more toxic because it was seven stages with a traveling circus of hundreds of people every day, and they play daily in different cities.
And all these bands are looking for their 15 minutes of fame yes. because that's all they get, because it's Warped Tour and there's 99 other bands.
There are bands that would get 20 minutes and would start at 11 o'clock in the morning,
which is insane.
It's awful. Yeah.
That kind of shit is generally why I don't always like going to big rock festivals. Like mm-hmm. when Mayhem Fest used to come through town, I used to like that because I could see like 10 bands and then just get drunk or whatever.
Sure.
And like I've been to the Decibel Beer Metal Fest in Philadelphia, which in my opinion is the best organized of all these rock metal festivals.
Mm-hmm. Was that in Wisconsin? What did you say? Philadelphia or Wisconsin?
Philadelphia.
Gotcha. Okay.
And like, I remember I went 1 year with Anna when we were still dating, and we saw Baroness and Death yes. Heaven and Obituary doing like a Cause of Death set, Enslaved doing a Frost set, and like all these old bands that had just come up out of nowhere, like Deceased, Exhorter, who were on their like first reunion tours each, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And like a bunch of other small bands like Heavy Temple, Tomb Mold. Like it, and tons of great craft beer, yeah. tons of great food.
That does sound more themed and organized properly for the right audience that you know is going to hit every single thing on that. You know they're going to love mm-hmm. it all. That makes sense. Warped Tour was just this sponsored machine. I mean, you wouldn't. I have on the bottom of the poster, I can't show it right now because we're streaming, the 2016 lineup with 40 sponsors lined below. And everything you can imagine was about this. Not exactly as punk as just Vans Warped Tour and that's it. It had that's every awesome. Type of sponsor. It was bonkers. So
imagine you're a kid and you're like, you're going to Warped Tour. You're going to go see like Whitechapel and Hatebreed and Municipal Waste and,
yes.
and Parkway Drive or whatever the fuck. You're going to see all these bands that you know about because your friends talk about them and you listen to them. And the whole thing is sponsored by like, fucking Lockheed Martin, Vans, Hot Topic, Harvey's, fucking Bud Light, fucking...
You named at like least two of them. List. You just named at least two of the sponsors that were that 2016.
Did I actually?
Yes. I gotta look it up now because I'm so curious. 2016 Warped Tour lineup. Da, 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 da. Come on. Here it is.
Joking. Don't tell me one of them's Lockheed Martin. I swear to God.
No. That is Florida-based. That's how I knew the name, but it's not Lockheed Martin. I don't know if they would go for the weapons manufacturer, but still. Because the picture's so blown out to death. But it had everything from Lyft, Trojan Condoms, Fuse TV, Pandora Jewelry, a jewelry company.
Pandora Jewelry?
Yes.
My mom has Pandora, like, charms and shit.
Yes. Not Pandora the streaming service, Pandora Jewelry. They had the basics, Journeys, Vans, Monster Energy, Twix... Just the candy bar Twix, like it was Twix sponsored. That one I think is weird. Like, what do you want? Should it be like Nestle or something else? But whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, I think a soft drink or like that makes sense to me.
Yeah, Monster.
Like when
that's
Mayhem
it.
Had the Rockstar Energy drink yes, sponsorship. Yes. Like that made perfect sense.
I can't even see all the others, but there's so many. Truth, which was like the anti-smoking campaign, who had like some of those vicious anti-smoking commercials back in the 2000s. If you smoke a cigarette or smoke weed, you might be supporting terrorism. and they showed like actual bomb building. Yeah, that was a big thing in the 2000s. They showed like a bomb being built in something. Oh yeah, that was a big thing. They've lightened up a little, but was that company. Yeah, so
just like if you smoke a cigarette, that's one more bomb for Osama bin Laden.
Yes, yes. I gotta ask now because this is off the rails. This is different from Warped Tour. When you were a kid in grade school, did they have the anti-smoking skits and actors come in and do little things for your school?
Yes.
We did too. Yes.
I vaguely remember some of it. I also remember our school wasn't too far from a police station. So I remember like grade 4 or 5, we had a cop actually come into class.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't even skit. Like he was straight up just like, if you do this, you'll go to jail. These are the consequences of this. And you're talking to a room of like 10 or 11
yes,
year old kids.
Correct.
Like
some of which are
lying over their head. Yeah. Like they don't care.
They can barely remember their province capitals. However, they're being screamed at about going to jail. So yeah, that's like, awesome. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Whatever, man. I left my lunch and my agenda at home, but please feel free to tell me about the dangers of smoking the wacky tobacco. I'm sure I'll definitely remember it.
Yes. Engrave it forever. See, we had mandatory DARE, which is drug abuse resistance education. That once I was a kid, that was a mandatory thing. So we knew every single drug and why it was bad for your body and brain, not to mention the legal stuff. So when everyone's taught the same stuff, it doesn't have as much of an impact because it's just something you have to pass. You don't care. So they had a mascot, Leo, the drug lion or whatever. I don't remember it all.
Leo, the drug lion?
That's a thing. Everyone else in the chat can vouch for me that too. There was a big lion that was like the mascot for anti-drug and anti-PSA stuff.
I didn't get a lion? What the fuck?
We got a lion. We definitely got a lion.
That's not
fair. Yeah. Man, I see now I'm seeing it. Mandatory DARE. Other people are also saying they remember it. It's like you think you're missing out. You're really not. Like
keeping it on Discord because there's a bit of a lag in the
live stream.
So I'm just like staying on Discord so I'm not like getting lost.
Also, super chat from Dr. Wargod. That's a name.
A band name. That's awesome.
Put Ronnie Radke and Chris Barnes on stage together during Warped Tour. We need some good comedy on tour. I would not go to that stage, unfortunately.
I would stay as far away from that stage as possible, and I would recommend any young people under the age of 18 also stay away from that stage.
Fun fact, that was the first and only time I willingly saw Falling in Reverse because I didn't know about them in 2016. I have a video clip I have to show in the Warped Tour video where Ronnie Radke gets all ableist and calls the crowd retarded. Yes, I'm quoting him. Yes, it's that awkward. And yes, I said it because I wanted to quote and I needed to make sure how stupid that is. It's awful.
It's so unsurprising and yet surprising at the same time.
And also to anyone that wants to defend him, it was a long time ago. It was a different age. 2016?
Also, he's doing messed up shit right now. Never mind what happened 6, 10 years ago. Like, I don't know if I want to open that because I don't know what your audience is like. But like,
I don't know what your audience is. I get flack for it all the time. I can't stand it. And I think the problematic stuff that he is not getting better. But he made a cool collab with Jelly Roll. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. Shit. I don't know. That particular one is very funny because in that song, he's like, yeah, I'm just trying to get my life back together. I'm just trying to be me. I just want to move on. And it's like, bro, aren't you the guy who was like tagging Devin Swank all day at Sonic Temple because of a threat that you made and he called you out on it? And then like that turned into a whole fucking thing. And you're the guy who's like constantly... Nobody thinks more about trans women and the washroom more than he does at this point. Like for real, dude.
To the point where he's almost terrified of him. Like, almost terrified to even be approached. My wife showed me on TikTok, who's in the chat, she's mods in the chat. She showed me TikToks of him making responses to 14-year-old girls who are saying they don't like his music. He's taking time out of his day to call out 14-year-old girls on TikTok. To me... That screams insecurity. So
absolutely, it's like, dude, you're a 40-year-old man. You have you have a job and a mortgage and a child. Like, grow up.
I know. And you would think he's clearly incredibly successful after his stint in jail. He has so much going for him. Why can't he focus on that? I got to shoot. Good.
It's one of those things where it's like, oh, no one wants. No one wants to give me a second chance. I've beefed with him on TikTok a couple times, actually, because he gave me shit for talking shit about Motley Crue He told me he was going to come get me, and I was like, you know what, man? I call your bluff. Take time out of your fucking day. I dare you. And there was another time he told me, he was just like, you're emotionally immature, and you don't know anything about the world. And it's just like, dude, it's really funny for you to lecture me about emotional maturity and then literally bully queer people and teenagers. Like, it's really funny.
Yeah, it's wild. Like, and how do you explain that to your child, too? Like, because they're going to grow up and see all this. His kids, I think he has two. He may only have one, but I'm pretty sure he has two. Were there when he started going off of that Blue Ridge Rockfest thing, like at a fan that wore an I Hate Roddy Radke or Radke Sucks t-shirt, saying he's going to send his dad after him. His dad's in a biker bang, like in a biker gang. And he said, I'm going to call my dad on you. And like, you're in your 30s in front of your children saying you're going to call grandpa and sick him after. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. And even that Devin Swank thing, he called up Alex Terrible from Slaughter to Prevail for backup.
Okay.
And it's like, come on, man. Like, do you, come on, man. Fight your own battles. If you're going to do this shit, at bare minimum, fight your own battle.
Why Ronnie Mad Person? I don't like my Alex Terrible impression when he just talks. I like to imagine him that way.
Ronnie is like real men like me.
Yes. Clearly. Some
shit, I don't know. I think he's Russian, isn't he?
Yes, he is. I'm pretty sure he's Russian. From Mystic Mind Analysis, I remember in college we had an anti-drink driving lecture, and they played the music video for Simple Plan's Untitled. What? I don't know who ran that
playing
class.
Playing cool rock music is definitely going to convince kids to not drink and drive.
What's
the logic there?
Was the instructor drunk? Was that the logic too? Like, I want to make sure you guys... that's what it was. I want to get down to your level, kids, and show you something you'll really understand, and because I'm cool and with what you kids are into, and show them the Simple Plan Untitled music video.
It's that clip of Steve Buscemi being like, yes. What up, my fellow kids?
Yes, you know, exactly.
Like, it's that energy.
But it's like a driver's ed class, and he's trying to get kids not to drink and drive, and this is how he does it.
It's like, hey, yo, kids, you know what's cooler than anything else?
Simple Plan.
Fucking safety, being sober, you know?
Goodness.
I think if in my edgiest, most rebellious years, that would convince me to go out and drink and drive. Like, straight up.
And in my mind, I've been like, drinking and driving can't be this bad. There's no way. Impossible. I do want to go back to one thing you mentioned, though. Mayhem Fest. That got announced. That's returning next year. And the lineup for California, the one day, is in 2024 in San Bernardino. Did you see the lineup?
Yeah, and it's pretty much the lineup I expected Mayhem to have in 2024. It's not a show I would go to, but there are at least Pop. I like Poppy. She puts on a great show. I saw her here in Toronto a couple of years ago. Suicide Silence is on there. I think I saw Body Count on there. Darkest Hour.
Yes.
There's plenty of quality bands. Like, it's fine. When the news got announced, I saw a couple like, oh, how come they don't have fucking Machine Head or whatever? How come they don't? We had this one guy in the Discord for a bit who was just always he loved classic metal. That's all he listened to. And when that got announced, he was like, how come like King Diamond and Metallica aren't playing it? And it's like, I don't know, man, it's 2024. And these are the exact type of bands I expected Mayhem to hire in 2024. Like, I wouldn't go to it, but I got nothing against it.
Right. As I said on my podcast, I said, if it was in proximity of me, I would go. I'd want to shoot it as a photographer, because that's one of the things I do. I'm a concert photographer and festival photographer. I don't know if it's worth flying out to, paying hotel, paying for Lyft drives and things like that. I don't know what to expect for 2025, though, because they said it's going to be a multi-stop tour like it was in the past.
And they've also kind of said that, like, whatever Mayhem ends up being, it's not going to be like the ones in the past. And even with this festival lineup, you know, you don't... Like, Mayhem in the past, they'd hire a bunch of different types of bands, and they were always big-name bands. Like, you'd have Mastodon, Amon Amarth...
Oh, sure.
Five Finger Death Punch, Avenged Sevenfold, Korn, Slayer. But I feel like, if they were to do a big tour next year, you're more likely to see bands like Lorna Shore or Knocked Loose... And stuff like that, which I'm fine with, and that's probably the smart route for them to go anyways.
Yeah.
Long story short, if you're expecting Mayhem Fest of all things to be hiring the death metal and thrash metal bands exclusively, then you're shit out of luck.
Yeah. It's not gonna be a big four reunion for a one-time show. When Mayhem Fest is probably trying to figure out how it can afford a true comeback and make it profitable again. That was one of the reasons it canceled in the first place. It wasn't as profitable. So
yeah, I remember like an interview back in the day where Kerry King was like, you know, we played this same venue with Exodus and Suicidal Tendencies last year and we filled it up, but now we're here with Mayhem Fest and it's half capacity. So what the fuck, you know? It's
yeah, not a great look. Know. Yeah. Bad Omens, Parkway Drive, Architects, Ginger, Poppy, Kitty. Those are the top six listed in ranking.
Kitty's in the top six?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
To be fair.
Am I crazy? Because I've just never understood the love for Kitty. And they're from my neck of the woods.
Right, Canada. To be fair, just saw them in April at Sick New World. They were pretty awesome. I'd never seen them live either. It was pretty intense. So you know what? I give them points for a live band. They get an A. I'll give them that. So.
Fair enough. Maybe I'm in the minority then. So be it.
Their new album comes out the end of this month. I also know that. This is the return album. So we'll see what Kitty has in store. I also think it's interesting that there's no hint of 2025, which is probably smart. It just makes me wonder how many bands they're going to have on the bill. Because I don't think they can do 22 like this. I don't think they can make it the full 3-4 stage festival that it might have been at one point. But I don't know. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I remember I went in 2013 and 2015, and 2013 was definitely the better one, both in terms of the lineup and just also in terms of how it was actually organized. There was the Jägermeister stage and the Musicians Institute stage.
Yeah.
And then there was another stage that had a bunch of small bands, or small.
I gotcha.
And then there was the main stage where you saw Rob Zombie and Five Finger Death Punch and whatever the hell. And that was really, really well done. Like, I saw a bunch of different bands. But it was that festival was great at bringing a bunch of different types of bands. Like, that was the first time I really heard of a lot of deathcore, because Job for a Cowboy was there.
Nice.
I think Born of Osiris was there, too. That was the first time I met Huntress. Rest in peace, Jill Janis. She was awesome. Every time she came to Toronto, we hung out.
Yeah.
Children of Bodom. I think Machine Head was on that one, too. Mastodon. Like, that was a really, really great lineup. And then going in 2015, I got tickets for dirt cheap. And the venue, they had so much trouble selling tickets that they actually downgraded the venue. We went from Mayhem Fest, went from playing in a massive amphitheater here in Toronto to playing like a little beachside venue, which was still cool.
Yeah, I get that. But that is a big...
Yeah, being able to see Slayer and King Diamond and Whitechapel and Jungle Rod and Code Orange at the beach, that's kind of cool.
It's fun.
Like, objectively.
For the fans, it's even better. But for the promoters and the festival and even the bands themselves, they were probably confused.
Yeah, because, like, a couple years later, Slayer came through on their final tour, quote-unquote, with Lamb of God and Anthrax and Behemoth, and they packed the exact same venue that got downgraded beforehand. So
I shot that tour in 2018, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That lineup, however, it also has the advantage of being more... It's billed as a final tour, so it's going to sell out no matter what. And it also has the advantage of being more cohesive. Like, it totally makes sense for all of those bands to tour together.
Yes.
Whereas Slayer and Thyroid is Murder and, like, Kissing Candace or whoever the hell else, like, that is harder to sell to the Slayer fan, and it's also harder to sell to, like, the metalcore new metal fan.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because it's like, I just want to see Whitechapel, or I just want to see... Code Orange or whatever the hell. I don't care about these old fuddy-duddy 80s heavy metal bands.
Right.
And then you have the 80s heavy metal fans coming in who are like, well, I just care about King Diamond and Slayer. I don't want to see the rest of these new millennial Gen Z bands. I don't care. You know? Yeah.
There's a big age gap and divide in heavy music, and I think that's also what hurt it a little bit, because there is a division not just by subgenre hate, but also by generational hate, and... I don't know if that's going to get better. Yeah. I don't know how that gets better outside of the dark way of just letting generations fade away into the sand. And
I think it's just a constant thing that we're going to deal with to some capacity. Yeah. And it's on both sides of the spectrums. Like, for a more controversial album review, it's totally normal for me to hear, well, you're too young to understand this music because it's for the kids. It's for the people of this generation.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And then for another review, like if I review a Metallica album, it's like, well, you weren't born when Master of Puppets was released, so you don't know what you're talking about. You know, like it's, and I'm just like, whatever, man, I gave the album a 3 out of 5. I don't even know why you're complaining. Like, whatever.
Yes, correct.
Like, what the hell's going on?
From Heavy Metal Joker. Hey, how you doing? Ronnie Radke makes me want to find God so he can save me from Ronnie Radke. So we have an atheist who says he will have a devout faith just so he can be saved.
Amen, brother. God,
from Ronnie Radke. I haven't heard that one before. Are there missionaries out there preaching a way to be saved by from Ronnie Radke? Because that could be a good tactic.
You've got missionaries in like South Africa or Indonesia or some shit like that. Just like not preaching the word of the Lord.
A picture of Jesus and a picture of Ronnie Radke with devil horns.
Pick one.
Yes.
That'd be awesome.
Oh, man. All of Africa was converted today after some massive missionary promotions. Ugh. Gross.
All they had to do was show them Watch the World Burn, and suddenly the entire continent of Africa was convinced that Christianity was cool or whatever.
Yes. We're still struggling with that in the U.S. right now. Christianity and cool is not exactly a big thing. Ever since the 80s and 90s with all those PSAs. Speaking of PSAs, there are a lot of those in the U.S. You know what? You know what's cool? Prayer. Those type
Hell
of PSAs.
Yeah,
yeah so... From another one from Dr. War God, I was surprised to see Kitty having new music after listening to their singles. It sounded like, well, Kitty, basically mid. So we have another one that's kind of just generic about Kitty. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, I mean, I'm by no means an aficionado on Kitty, but I always kind of saw them as like a C-tier kind of nu metal band.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you've got your Slipknots and your Korns and your Deftones at the very top. And then you've got a couple other bands who, you know, they released solid, competent music, even if it's not my cup of tea.
Sure.
And then Kitty. Like, I also never cared. Like, I was a little bit too young to enjoy nu metal when it was at its most popular.
Right.
And by the time I was starting to get into rock music in general, like, by that point, nu metal's kind of on the way out. So I missed that whole thing. So I got to experience nu metal through the lens of being like a shitty metal elitist in my late teens. So I don't know. Nu metal has never really been my kind of thing. I appreciate some of the... I love Slipknot, I will say. Like, the first two albums are great. They are still a great live band. Korn and Deftones are fun in bits and pieces. I respect a lot of what they do. I cannot stand Limp Bizkit.
I will never...
Limp Bizkit.
But they're coming back on tour this year, Rob. Are you going to go see Limp Bizkit live? I would not. No.
They had the intelligence to at least call their shit Loser Fest, and they brought in a bunch of like they got Corey Feldman opening for them, man. Doing like you know what? I'd go for Corey Feldman. I'll go see him do Angelic.
You said it right. I don't know if you know this or not. I saw and shot Corey Feldman last year at Riot Fest. Everything
at Riot Fest?
He opened up one of the side stages at Riot Fest. I'm not kidding. There's a clip on TikTok, is my most watched TikTok. It went viral that weekend. I can't stress enough. It's just the first 60 seconds. I'm going to verbally describe it to you so you can be prepared before you see it live. Wonderful. It opens up with his band, like his hired gun band, just like hired musicians. And on stage is this giant inflatable screen that you would have like at Walmart and put in the backyard at night to watch outside movies. Okay. Here he comes, the comeback king. Here he comes, the comeback king. All the band members are chanting it. The crowd of at least 2,000, there were a lot of people there just to see what was going to happen. Not to be rude or boo, but people were genuinely curious, like me. I was standing to the side of the photo pit before I go in because I couldn't bring my phone into the photo pit or shoot with it. So I'm just recording to the side. The guitarist, after the chants, going, come on, chant it. Here he comes, the comeback king. Couple more times. He says, what, you want him to come out? Here he comes, the comeback king.
And this image of like Jeb Push being like, please clap.
So it finally has like a bass drop. He comes out in this black ruffle shirt and pants. They're matching. He changed outfits every song, but that's besides the point. He comes out in this, starts to do a little bit of Michael Jackson dancing. And then the band was off the key from the beat and the backtrack. He gets mad, stops everyone. He goes, on the same beat, guys, really? Come on. He yells this at his keyboardist. And then one of the other guitarists gets on the mic and says, my guitar is not plugged into the monitor. I can't hear it. He gets mad. Corey Feldman goes.
Is that scripted or is that supposed to be? Was that real?
The
so
song,
it's real? That feels scripted.
It does, doesn't it?
It really does.
And I would have thought, and I thought everything Corey Feldman had done was scripted and a bit, like a Andy Kaufman anti-humor bit. when I saw it live, and when you see the video, you realize, oh, this is real. This is real.
I need to see this video.
Then the song starts up. It's the pinned one on my TikTok. So just go to TikTok Rock Night. It's the pinned one. And
just gonna casually watch start it. Scrolling
if,
on
you
TikTok.
Have, if you have your phone, just pull it up now. You can see what I'm talking about. Okay, yeah.
And I've been given permission, so it's fine.
Yes, you have. Everyone else too. It's on YouTube also, but TikTok has the most one. That's where it went big first. And yeah. And then the song started over. Everyone went on. And everything I just described was only the first 60 seconds of a 25 to 30 minute set.
Everyone go on TikTok. Let's experience this all together like one big happy
TikTok.com/@rocksnet. My TikTok. If you're not following, follow. But yeah, it's the pinned one. And the comments are beyond gold, both on TikTok and Instagram.
This guitarist looking like off-brand Ted Nugent, too, with his cowboy hat.
He looks a good 40 years older than everyone else on stage.
Oh, that's awesome. That really is, it looks like a giant inflatable swimming pool that I would buy at Canadian Tire or Walmart.
And after you see this, I'll explain what all that stuff was, too. I just want to make sure you hear it. And art about R&B was the first so hard. Oh my god! I'm going through chat.
What the hell?
The name Corey of his Feldman new single. I don't know how to describe him. Yeah, it's weird. Like it's ruffles, but it's not. It's like a weird stitching.
It's like that episode of Seinfeld where Jerry had the puffy pirate shirt.
Yes,
but they made it an entire costume.
Yes,
and it's different, spray painted it.
Yes,
that's so weird.
Yeah, so. That all happened after the first song, which was Comeback King. That was the name of his new single he was pushing at the time. That's why they wanted him to chant it, the whole crowd. Okay. Nobody got that, by the way. Mm-hmm. After the song, he goes, I know it's broad daylight, so you can't see what's on the screen, but it's being projected and it's a lot of cool stuff. You'll just have to use your imagination.
Trust me on this, guys.
Yes.
This is really cool.
That's exactly right. And it was, again, broad daylight. It was like 1 p.m. on a Saturday in Chicago. Of course it's going to be broad daylight. No one's going to be able to see it. And then he goes, all right, how about this song from our Angelic era? And then he goes into an Angelic to the Core song. This was a 25 to 30 minute set. And this is what you got. And to this credit, there were thousands of people there. There were at least 2,000 people there wanting to see what would happen.
I mean, it says a lot if 1,000 people show up, even just to see.
Yeah.
If 1,000 people show up, if 1,000 people show up to see a train wreck, that's still 1,000 people.
It is. It absolutely is.
Even if the train wreck is a train wreck, you know?
Yes, correct. And after the set, the Riot Fest crew got him together and the closing act of that side stage, Insane Clown Posse, and they all got some photos together. And they went off to the carnival rides and carnival section of Riot Fest, because that's what's some of the things Riot Fest has. And you can see them running around. You see Corey Feldman doing the balloon pop thing in one of his Michael Jackson outfits. The photos are online of Corey Feldman and ICP. I don't know if there's ever going to be a collaboration. All I know is that was a wild day in Chicago.
I don't know. I am not a religious man. I'm not a spiritual man. But if there is a God, he, she, they, please be listening. Please give me that collab.
I mean, they are
amazing.
They are established now. There's proof of them together and having fun. So the start of that is there. They don't need an introduction anymore. It's just you got to push them in the right direction, in the right studio. Boy, that's just the studio session would be bonkers. But
it would be in so much ego, so much insanity,
yes,
and just so much weirdness.
Yeah,
because Corey Feldman is like this weird value brand Michael Jackson figure, and like
kind of
Insane Clown Posse is like all through the Angelic to the Core album. I can sum up that entire thing as like the Michael Jackson history album, but made by a completely incompetent, pretentious asshole.
Correct, and yeah.
And then Insane Clown Posse are Insane Clown Posse.
Exactly.
They make no sense at all.
Yes. I will say this. There's one big difference between the two, and I don't mean the music. Insane Clown Posse is absolutely aware of who they are and what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They know what they're doing and who they are, their music, their audience, Juggalos, everything. Corey Feldman's not that kind of aware.
No.
So that's the big difference. So it might be ICP having to take the reins, but we do know he will be opening up for Limp Bizkit, while Limp Bizkit plays the recent albums, Limp Bizkit still sucks.
I forgot that's how this whole derail started. God damn, we got so down.
It was my fault. I had to go on the Corey Feldman rant because once you see it, you're changed. It's hypnotic once you watch it live.
That's amazing.
Hypnotic is the right word. What?
For all the people tuning in that do watch the Metal Meltdown, they know that I am one to rant about Ronnie Radke and horrible people like Corey Feldman and horrible artists. So yeah. In a way, this is business as usual for my crowd, at least. I don't know.
Oh, by the way, I would gladly go see Corey Feldman again before Falling in Reverse. Not even close. Not even close, absolutely. Guys.
At least it'd be funny in like an ironic way.
I would enjoy it in some way. Also, I shot Avenged Sevenfold last year. And on support for them for like a month or so was Falling in Reverse. I intentionally showed up late because I could do that. And I walked through while Falling in Reverse was on stage. They were performing an extremely foul-mouthed cover of All Star by Smash Mouth. Why, I don't know. And then they ended their set 10 minutes early. So there you go.
Cool. Yep. That's probably the most sane experience with Falling in Reverse that anyone could ever document.
It's true. That was probably the most harmless as well. So there you go.
No microphone stands, no allegations by the end of the show.
No.
All's good.
Yes. And the stage was too big with too much security for anyone to, like, kids to be in any danger. So it was good. Mm-hmm. Big outdoor venue. And everyone was there for Avenged. I'll be honest. Everyone was there for Avenged Sevenfold. So.
I mean, yeah, of course, because Avenged Sevenfold are a massive band. That's the bottom line is when it's a big band like that, you always show up for the headline.
Sure.
But especially in the case where it's a massive band, everyone's definitely showing up for the headliner.
Yeah.
I saw Avenged Sevenfold open for Metallica, and I can very honestly tell you, a lot of the people there did not give two shits about Avenged Sevenfold.
Correct.
They were there to see Metallica.
Correct.
You know? That's just bottom line.
That goes back to the age argument we had too about generational divide. That's also a big part of that too. Metallica can have anyone they want open for them. No one's going to care.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't matter. They can have some fucking idiot stand on stage and play the flute with his nose, and it wouldn't matter. It just doesn't matter.
Corey Feldman, are you listening? You got a new bit to work on.
It's funny, too, because I love sometimes I'll see comments from people like, why isn't Metallica touring with, like, real metal bands or, like, real thrash metal bands? And it's like, does it matter?
No.
First off, you're wrong. Second, does it matter?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, man. Like, are you really going to pay $500 to see Power Trip and Metallica, or are you going to pay $500 to see Metallica?
Yeah, it's true. You're paying for the main act on that. On that tour, you're paying for the main headline, so.
Mm-hmm.
I see. I'm going through the chat right now. Thank you guys for hitting us up.
Please, I should read the chat.
Please go ahead and see if you see anything. If you see anything, go ahead and call it out. Number one, if you're not subscribed to the Metal Meltdown, please hit the description in this video and you'll see his link. You can hit it right there. Two, hit the like button. It really does help if you hit the like button during a live stream, if you haven't known that yet, if you haven't watched any YouTube live streams ever in the past 10 years.
Blackwater Russ, please more Ronnie roasting. Oh, you know me, bud. It's all good. There will definitely be Ronnie roasting.
It was last week, right, that he just posted his new collab with Jelly Roll.
I, for one,
have nothing against Jelly Roll. You can tell he has a talented voice. But that does not make the song automatically good. So
he was probably the best part of that song too.
Sure.
Like, Pablo Aguirre, Drinking Games are the best. Hell yeah, you know me, bud. Hell yeah, I love them Drinking Games. That's 90% of what we do on the Metal Meltdown now.
From Mad Mike, BTS opening for Metallica win. See, that might actually get some audience divide in the show.
I could picture that happening though. I really could.
A South Korea tour, like Metallica and BTS.
I could picture them just straight up co-headlining like a big music festival in South Korea and just that BTS other headliner, you know?
The multi-genre fest, yeah. Yeah, the multi-genre fest work. Yeah, so.
Because like Metallica are at that level where they don't need to play a metal festival. They can just play regular festivals. They can go to fucking the Governor's Ball or Lollapalooza or Coachella or whatever. It doesn't matter for them. So it wouldn't shock me. Honestly, it wouldn't. Also, shout out Mad Mike. What's up? Another really cool YouTuber. Y'all should check out if you haven't already.
Thank you, Mad Mike, for stopping by.
He did a really cool documentary on Seth Putnam of Anal Cunt fame, and he also does rage baity videos and stuff that are super edgy and dumb, but they're funny.
Gotcha. As long as it's not just actual rage, but it's also funny and well targeted, I'm okay with it then.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be, it's not as bad anymore. I remember the 2010s, you would see someone with a webcam like flapping their arms with anger over a song they didn't like because they wanted to get the attention for being the angry reviewer guy.
That was me in the early days of the Metal Meltdown.
See, I was so...
Not even going to lie.
See, when I was doing basic album reviews back in the day, I didn't even want to show my face. I was like, no, I don't want to do that. So, and it like took me a while to actually like, okay, fine, I'll show my face. And then do it more and more. Then YouTube is only about faces now. If you don't have a face on your thumbnail and 90% of your video, it's not going to do well. It's just, it's that type of situation.
If I had to do it all over again, I would unironically have a puppet as the host of the Metal Meltdown.
Ooh.
Instead of me.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be the same content, mm-hmm. same shit. I'd talk the same way I am now, except instead of having a conversation with me, you'd have a conversation with like a puppet.
Yeah.
Like it would just be the same. Cause like I get so many people once they see, when they see my face, they find me online and they send DMs and they mm-hmm. get weird, and get stupid. Like if it's a puppet, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
What are you going to do? What do you do? You're going to beef with a puppet online? Like, honestly, yeah. Are you? Are you going to pull a Jordan Peterson and get mad at a puppet for existing? Like,
right. I mean, how much of a career did Triumph the Insult comic have? Or how much of a career did the actual puppeteer comedian that worked for Conan have?
Yeah, great example.
You think of Triumph, you don't think of the man doing the voice and doing the comedy. So.
And you even think about like when Elmo or Kermit the Frog shows up at like a big award show or some mm-hmm. big event. And no one even bothers to question that there's a man with their sure. hand up the puppet's ass. They're just like, oh my God, it's Kermit.
Exactly.
Like the puppet being there just completely yeah. takes over.
Oscar the Grouch completely roast your favorite band on YouTube and people would eat it up.
A Muppets comedy roast would go extremely hard.
Ooh, a Cookie Monster gets an intervention. And like, we're all here, Cookie Monster. You know why? Because you got a problem. So... Just stupid
cookies
stuff like that.
For something else's shit. Goddamn.
We know what cookies actually is, Cookie Monster.
We know what's in those oatmeal raisin cookies, yes. Mr. Monster.
The literal master of puppets.
Hey-o. Kyle Hommel, Metal Meltdown could have been the master of puppets. Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome. True. And then you would
in
have been
another lifetime. Yeah. Who knows?
I know. If I could have gone back in time, I think that's every YouTuber though. We all wish we knew something when we started to help mm-hmm. us out, get that boost a little farther. But it's not that big of a deal. Big of a deal. Cookie the Monster other, roast. Yeah.
Yeah. The only other thing is like, if I could like go back to like when young baby Robert was doing YouTube videos and shit, I would just look him straight in the face and be like, you gotta grow a thick skin, buddy.
Yes.
Because you're going to make people mad no matter what. It doesn't yes. matter how nice you are, how compassionate you are, how understanding you are. You're going to piss people off. You better get ready for that.
Correct. And it doesn't matter how well rationed and well argument, how well worded your argument is. It doesn't matter. People will mm-hmm. attack you for it. And it can be wild at the accusations. And the more deranged the person, the less understanding the insulted attack is. And you just have to understand, these people are screaming at a stranger on the internet. You got to let them go. Mm-hmm. Just let them go. It's okay. So
I think that's also like part of getting those comments. Like it still does get to me in a way, because it gets to everyone, whether they're willing.
Sure.
And that's also where like the drinking games on the Metal Meltdown channel come from, is like, how do I take this and turn it into something fun?
Yeah.
Like people are going to do this shit no matter what. There's got to be something I can do with it. So that's where the angry fanboy drinking games came in. And like, that definitely helps a lot. But in general, I would just go back to young Robert and be like, grow a thick skin, bud. Cause yep. it does not get better from here. Trust
it does
me
help.
On that.
Yep. That's every YouTube channel and niche and topic also, not just music related content. Everyone on YouTube, every mm-hmm. channel. Also from Paradox Rift, was Cookie Monster always Chris Barnes in disguise? Chris Barnes wishes he had as much charisma and charm as Cookie Monster.
Cookie Monster could actually sing for 6 Feet Under right now, and I don't think most people would be able to tell the difference.
Correct.
Honestly.
And Cookie Monster wouldn't pig squeal in the middle of a breakdown just for the heck of it. So.
God, Chris Brown, oh God, he's so wild for that.
I
do love that the most recent 6 Feet Under album is like semi-listenable. And that's really only because it's being compared to like the last couple of 6 Feet Under albums, which were such incomprehensibly horrible train wrecks of epic proportion,
yeah.
like Graveyard Classics 4, Torment, Nightmares of the Decomposed, like three of the worst death metal albums ever made, all back to back.
Is he that far up in the graveyard classics of the AC/DC covers and stuff? Is he that far?
Oh my
four
God.
Albums?
There was a fourth one. And for a while there was a rumor a couple years ago that there would be a fifth one and it would be all Rush, like a Rush tribute album.
No, he's going to try to cover Rush. Now,
I don't know how valid this is, but I did hear about it quite a bit for a while. So
I don't even know how that worked with the music and
this image in your mind of like Chris Barnes going, "Thank God, made the music."
Yeah, you want to hear
shit like that?
You want to hear Tom Sawyer covered by Chris Barnes? No. Well, you're gonna. Ugh. Man.
I've always joked that Chris Barnes should just lean into the meme and just like Graveyard Classics 5, let's go crazy Broadway style. Yes. You know what I mean? Like just do Broadway songs.
Phantom of the Opera, but Chris Barnes the entire time.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Do Hamilton, Les Mis.
Oh yeah. Little Shop of Horrors, absolutely.
Do a whole ballads album too, where you're singing stuff from like a
Little Shop of Horrors, Little Shop. Yes, that's exactly what it should be.
That's what he should do. That's how he wins. Because like he really is Tommy. He's the death metal Tommy Wiseau. Tommy Wiseau eventually learned to deal with the criticism.
He did.
And just, you know, let people joke and meme. Chris Barnes should do the same.
And the thing is, it's Chris Barnes has been around working in his field longer than Tommy Wiseau has.
Yes. It's
Which
also
is
funny because, like, I'll get death metal nerds that are like, well, you should respect him because he's a death metal legend and he used to be in Cannibal Corpse. And I'm like, in the entirety of the time that I've been alive, he has been not only not in Cannibal Corpse, but he's been horrible.
Yes.
So.
Well, how many?
In the entirety of the time I've been alive, he has not been Cannibal Corpse.
After the turn of the century, 6 Feet Under Defenders really started falling by the wayside. I don't care how much of a death metal fan you are. Defending post-2001 Six Feet Under really gets difficult.
Oh my God, yeah. Because that's where... I mean, that's where his music gets so bad that he has to start bringing in outside collaborators
yes.
to help him out.
Like, I just talked about that on a recent video. He did one with Ice-T, Body Count, and it still sucked.
Yeah.
It still sucked. So.
And I even think about, like, Rebirth and Reborn. Oh, shit, this is about to overflow. God damn it. I think about, like, Rebirth, Reborn in, like, the early 2010s. And he had the Ben Savage from Whitechapel. He had the guys from, like, Iron Regan and Cannibus Corpse on one of his albums.
I do remember those latter ones, yeah.
One of the guys from Threat Signal. Like, all kinds of different session musicians and special guests. And it's like, those albums aren't the best 6 Feet Under albums because of Chris Barnes. They're the best 6 Feet Under albums because he had to literally hire somebody else to write them.
And even so much of the music is also still forgettable because you can tell it's not being the best foot forward from any of the collaborators either. You can tell this is just a really good payday or pay opportunity for some name value. I don't even know how good the payday was, to be honest. Good name value to get out there. I can't imagine.
If I call up Ben Savage or Phil Hall right now, they're not going to be like, oh, yeah, it was experience. They're going to be like, yeah, I bought a PlayStation with that money.
Yes.
I bought a TV, you know?
Exactly.
6 months' rent was taken care of after that, you know?
There you
that
go, kind yes. of From Blackwater Russ, Chris Barnes doing Queen or Michael Jackson covers would be amazing. Yeah, so that's whirling into it.
Oh.
I don't know how I feel about Queen, though. You would have legit anger. Okay, I take it back. There is something that would unify the generations. Having Chris Barnes cover Queen and try to promote it. That would have everyone unified in a negative way towards Chris Barnes. Yes.
It would, but also I would kill to hear Chris Barnes go, I want to break. Like that would just be objectively awesome.
I'm just thinking about Fat Bottom Girls from Chris Barnes and trying to make it work in 2024. Man, oh man, I can dream.
Do Seven Seas of Rye.
Yeah.
Do fucking Another One Bites the Dust. Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon. There you go. Yeah.
He can bring Ice-T back and they can both do Under Pressure.
Yes. Man. From Mad Mike, if Chris Barnes is metal Tommy Wiseau, then Devil Daddy is metal Neil Breen.
You're right. You are. Absolutely.
See, Neil Breen has made some awful, unaware, self-serving trash. Self-serving's correct. But I don't feel like he has the actual toxicity of a Devil Daddy.
You know what? Fair. Counter-argument. No disrespect, Mad Mike. Love you. But counter-argument. I would say that Jeremy Spencer, Devil Daddy, of Psycho Center Psychosexual fame, is more equivalent to someone like Zack Snyder, because the music is weird and pretentious, and it thinks that it's artsy-fartsy and so provocative and so
different. That actually is a better argument, and it ends up ruining some of the characters he's supposed to portray on a screen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, the logic was there, Matt, Mike. I do get it, but I also understand a counterpoint to it.
Like, Jeremy Spencer would have been best off leaning into the idea of being a Tommy Wiseau or Neil.
Yes, Black, if it was if it was a willful comedy bit or willful snark, I think people would have been more open to it. But the fact that he leaned in so serious to the dark stuff and thought he was doing something edgy and cool really made me question everything about the man, including previous work.
Less than a year, he dropped. In less than a year, he dropped 11 albums.
I was going to say it was 10 or 11, and that was before the actual debut that he disacknowledged. Like, he says, "I disavow that previous debut. Here is my real music." What?
Not to be that guy, but yeah. Because I remember when Torch the Faith came out, and it's that album review is still one of the most popular videos on the Metal Meltdown, and I just remember being bored at how gross and weird that album is.
Same.
And he begged people to be patient and to give him a second chance and to let him speak his truth. And I did. I was like, you know what? Sure.
Okay.
Because back in the day, Michael Jackson dropped "The Girl Is Mine" as a lead single from Thriller.
Yes.
And all the critics went, "This song sucks. Thriller is gonna suck." And it ended up being one of the best pop albums of all time, one of the best-selling albums in any genre of all time. So I kind of went, you know what? Fuck it. I'll give you a second chance.
Okay, fair.
And then he drops 9 albums in a single day, and they're all horrible for all the exact same reasons. And then less than a year later, he drops 2 more. And the irony is he goes, "Oh, Torch the Faith was a horrible album. I didn't think it through at all." But he also recycled all of the material from Torch the Faith on those 9 albums. So it's like, which is it? Are you not proud of it? Or, are you... It's mixed messaging. Like, it's like, either you're proud of it or you're not, bud.
It's like he repurposed and repackaged all his old ideas, sprinkled in to his new presentation to make it also stand out as new?
Yeah.
The logic behind it does not make sense.
It's like when George Lucas added fucking all that CGI to the old movies.
To the Return of the Jedi. It's like,
it's better now.
Yeah. This is my original vision of what I really want. I just wasn't able to do in the 80s. Oh, yeah. The dancing scene with Jabba the Hutt and the slaves. That's what you really wanted back in the early 80s? Really?
Yeah. Adding Phantom Menace style CGI definitely improved the scene where Luke enters Mos Eisley for the first time. Wow, cinema.
George Lucas. George Lucas was probably right. However you feel about the latest trilogy or not, the Disney Star Wars trilogy, it probably was best George Lucas handed over the reins. For better or worse reasons, it's probably best.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Especially because apparently George Lucas pitched a movie to Disney when they bought it, and apparently they thought it was so batshit insane that they were like, we don't even want you near us.
Interesting.
They were just like, it's stupid.
We'll give you $4 billion, but please leave us alone and leave Star Wars with us.
Yeah, we'll give you an executive producer credit or based on George Lucas credit or whatever, but please leave us alone.
To be fair, if someone told me, leave me alone and I'll give you $4 billion, I would take it.
Oh, yeah, I'd take it real quick.
You wouldn't hear from me again, I promise.
Student loan debt is gone.
Yeah.
Me and my wife never have to worry about rent or groceries ever again. Future, go on a couple of lavish vacations.
Future children and potentially grandchildren never have to worry about their work again. Yeah, I'd take it. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, absolutely. Like, it'd be easy.
Some people are talking about OTEP in the comments and bringing up bad covers from OTEP. How did this conversation turn into OTEP covers? And yes, I'm aware they're awful. But what in the world?
So I think that's from OTEP did a cover album last year. I don't know if you know.
I'm aware, and I didn't have to listen to the whole thing because one of my rules, one of my rules for the whole best and worst albums of the year: no live albums, no cover albums. I'd like just to eliminate some of the work. So as soon as I found out it was a covers album, I was like, nope, done. So I was very lucky. Yeah,
smart. I was not smart because I did listen to it, and it's really bad. I think OTEP disappoints me because I'm like, there's a lot about her I want to like,
mm-hmm.
but she just seems like such an obnoxious and annoying human being.
She is an overzealous human being on everything she talks about and does. She has no control. She cannot control herself by going full force on political topics, metal, activist rights, and like whether you agree with the rights or not, she is so beyond in your face about it. So
it's the same energy as like a total like Twitter liberal, you know, like screaming at me online with like total bleeding heart Twitter lib energy. Like honestly,
that does describe OTEP pretty well too. And like she wasn't always like that. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. I remember her debut Save Astra, like way back in the day. It was nothing like some of the later stuff. Nothing. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Thanks for the OTEP discussion. Thanks, chat.
The people who whine about me never making me happy with my OTEP insult.
Okay. Ugh. As a massive Star Wars nerd, I understand. I think his ideas deteriorated as time went on. What he revealed about the sequel story was not good. See, I didn't look that up. I didn't even know he had more sequel ideas that I was unaware of. Huh.
Yeah, from what I understand, and I'm drawing from memory, and I've had some... So bear with me.
Okay.
But from what I understand, there was an idea he pitched which involved some kind of crime syndicate. Darth Maul was going to return.
I knew that.
There was also, they also discussed the possibility of pulling influence from like the Star Wars comics, which had been running for a long time.
Yeah.
A character named Mara Jade. And Palpatine did actually return in the comics, and it was a clone, and that there was a second Empire. And I guess to an extent they did pull influence from those comics, because that's more or less the plot of the entire sequel trilogy, is that Palpatine comes back and he does his own neo-Nazi version of the Empire. I don't know. I want to like the sequels. I think Force Awakens is a solid first entry in a new trilogy.
I would agree.
Because it's just a fun, simple sci-fi action movie. And then Last Jedi, warts and all, and it definitely has warts, I think it legit tried to do something different and new. And then Rise of Skywalker is just like, lol, no one liked that. So let's just do what they want us to do. Let's throw in all the characters and all the references and all the quippy MCU-style one-liners that people want.
Yeah, I remember.
Like it was just,
I remember
the
seeing...
The biggest issue is that unlike something like the MCU, at least up until Infinity War, they had no idea what they wanted to do and how to execute it. Like, they just... They were making it up as they went along.
You could kind of tell in Rise of Skywalker, the first hour where the plot moves a mile a minute. They're on different planets every 2 minutes trying to do all these different things. I remember I was watching that with my family. I went back to St. Louis. We would watch all the Star Wars movies in theaters. And I remember my mom leading over to me. My mom, 35 something years older than me, asking, am I remembering all this right? What are they doing? And I have no answer for her. I couldn't figure it out the first half of Rise of Skywalker either.
Yeah, within the first few minutes, it's truly insane. Like, within the first few minutes, Kylo Ren has, like, a Sith map. I think they call it a holocron in the Star Wars universe.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads him to where the Emperor is. Where did he get it? Don't know. Doesn't matter. And that leads him to the Sith planet homeworld, I guess, where Palpatine is there. And it's implied that Snoke is like a weird mutated clone, and he's got tons of them. Why? I don't know. Never established, never explained. And he convinces him to align with him. And the First Order is like, actually, we don't dig this, even though technically the First Order was always his, because it's something that he's been building up over the years, like some kind of weird, literally a neo-Nazi movement, quite literally.
Yeah.
Except way bigger in scale. And then, like, I always remember that scene, too, where Rey holds up, like, this ancient Sith dagger, and it just perfectly lines up with this landscape in the background, and she's like, that's where the ancient Sith treasure is, or
was that with a MacGuffin, like, that she was holding up to the perfect, like, lineup of the ship? Which doesn't make sense, because the ship would have had to have landed perfectly and never moved for that whole MacGuffin thing to see through?
It's also like, what if she was, like, slightly to the left or right?
Yeah, exactly.
Wouldn't it just, you know?
Like, or what if, how does she stand... Yeah,
That would require you to stand in this specific position, looking this specific direction.
Yes. Like, and the person holding it has to be a certain height with perfect eyesight. It just all these other things too. So,
like, if Yoda had done it, he'd be fucked. You know?
Exactly. So 2 points I want to see from the chat. One from Sapphire. Hey, Sapphire. Blue Cat 42, the Star Wars sequels are a bad case of too many cooks in the kitchen. I think that is a fair way to put it, for at least especially the later one, the last one. And also from Nick Bobo, I just remembered the Lego Star Wars games. They should pull a Lego Star Wars movie, like the Batman Lego movie.
You know what? I like that idea.
They could have a blast with that and make it a lot of fun.
Because Lego Batman is unironically a great Batman movie.
It is.
That examines everything that is important to the Batman lore.
The Joker, also
a great Batman parody and just a great film in and of itself.
It is. Like, they could do that with Star Wars and have a blast doing it too.
It's even funnier if you know who Batman is, but it also just works if you're just some fucking rando who got dragged to it on Sunday afternoon, you know? Like my dad, as far as my dad is concerned, Adam West is Batman and no one else is.
Sure.
And he loves the Lego Batman movie. Like he thought that was funny as shit, you know? And meanwhile, me, the comic book nerd, who, if I wasn't doing the Metal Meltdown, it would definitely be the some shit like that.
The comic meltdown.
Meanwhile, my ass is like, oh yeah, this, all the classic stories that Batman is known for, and all the classic themes, and all these classic characters, all it lines up. Like, Lego Batman is unironically one of the best Batman movies on top of being a genuinely good superhero parody film.
Yeah. I just remember, so I saw it in theaters, and I do remember that's one of the few times I was laughing so far hard, I was having trouble breathing. In the beginning when he was noping up the steps, when Alfred was telling me what he had to do. No. I just thought that was the funniest thing. So.
And like the big epic song sequence, like who doesn't pay their, who always pays their taxes? Not Batman.
Yeah.
Like, oh, totally leaning into like the hyper satirized image of Batman and like the stereotypes of Batman and using that to expose vulnerabilities in Batman's character and personality.
Yes.
Is unironically so fucking genius.
If they were able to license Lego Star Wars video games, there's a chance they could do it if Disney allows it, and the Star Wars diehards would be okay with having poking a slight little fun. That's the real twist.
Just a little bit of poking fun
at Star Wars with Lego. Just a little.
Because, like, Star Wars fans asked for years. We want something more serious. We want something more dramatic. Got it. We'll give you Andor. No one watched Andor.
Nope.
We want the High Republic. We want to get away from the Skywalker saga. Got it. We'll drop the Acolyte. And I haven't even seen it, I don't know. It does suck. Maybe it truly does. Mm-hmm. But I have seen far too many extremely negative reviews, and it's like, it sounds like this show gave you everything you asked for and you don't like it.
Yes.
I don't know what to tell you. I don't know, man. Star Wars fans are more so than any group of metal fans are impossible.
I was going to say, there is a correlation with metal fans, old and new, young and old, who don't know what they want and are consistently not happy with all the options they're given. The difference, metal has so many different options for you to choose from. It's not like Star Wars where you have a limited set, but some people just aren't happy with whatever they have, and it's more of an act and more of a personality for them to hate on what they don't like.
I think at this point in my life, when it comes to Star Wars, or really any kind of sci-fi, fantasy, superhero franchise, I'm just kind of like, it's like, oh, it's so stupid, it's so dumb and generic. And I'm like, yes. Like, I don't know what you expect, how you expect me to respond to that. I'm not expecting these mega franchises that have been around for years and years to put out revolutionary material.
Right.
If I go see a Star Wars movie or a Marvel movie, if it can entertain me for 90 minutes to 2 hours, fuck it. I'm satisfied. You know what I mean? Like, if I want something more ambitious, I will go watch something more ambitious.
Sure.
Like, problem solved.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the same thing with like Godzilla v. Kong, you know? Like, I just want to watch a giant lizard punch a giant monkey. Like,
there were people complaining about Godzilla versus Kong. Godzilla can't run that fast. I remember those arguments online.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, shut up. It's Godzilla.
We're not in science class. We're watching it's a giant lizard punching a giant monkey. Shut the fuck up and learn how to have fun.
This is not a documentary. It's okay.
That's how I feel with Star Wars at this point.
Yeah.
And like really any sci-fi fantasy shit. Like there's a wizard with a laser sword fighting another lizard, but he's bad, who also has a laser sword. Shut up. It's fun.
Yes.
Like, shut the fuck up.
Exactly.
Learn how to have fun.
Also, great comment, and to prove the point about Lego Star Wars eventually, if Family Guy, Robot Chicken, and Phineas and Ferb can all get approval from Disney and Star Wars to do this stuff, so can
that's
Lego.
That's true. I mean, Phineas and Ferb is an actual Disney property, yes, too, because that's on Disney Channel.
There's no reason it cannot happen at this point.
They're also fine with Deadpool because they're going to put out a Deadpool movie.
Rated R, too. I'm not saying Lego Star Wars is going to be rated R, but... this would, I don't know what they would have planned.
Awesome.
Okay, if Disney wants to print money, a rated R Lego Star Wars movie would print money this summer. Man, oh man.
That would be so, I think people would check that out just for shits and giggles.
It would, yes. But I just think about this too, like all the options, because you know what, think of it money wise. If they make Lego Star Wars the movie, that means they have all the Lego Star Wars sets, like new ones. And then all that money's going to rain in for a long time. So.
I remember when Revenge of the Sith came out in 2005, and I had like the Lego Star. There was this big Lego Star Wars set where it was the Battle of Mustafar, and you constructed this big arena, which was like these. It was on Mustafar, so you had lava pieces and these weird still pieces or whatever. I don't know what they were, but if you've seen the lights, if you know the movie, then you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
fight scene on Mustafar, and you had these two like Rock'em Sock'em's robot style. Pulley, like these little things that you had little minifigures on, and you actually did like a lightsaber fight.
Nice.
And you could maneuver them so that Anakin could actually jump all the way up here.
That's cool.
And it was so awesome.
Yeah.
If they did that shit for a movie, I'd buy that shit. I don't even care.
I mean, I just think about the video games and then make that into the movie. When the Obi-Wan Kenobi does the slice, all the red little coin blood flies everywhere.
Lego studs.
Yes, people would cheer their brains out at
That'd
the
be
theaters.
Awesome.
It'd be gold. So
you'd have people quoting that shit, like
yes.
screaming, like "You turned her against me!" Like you'd have people like like it would be like back in the day when you'd have Rocky Horror Picture Show at midnight matinee.
Yes,
you know, it would be that kind of energy.
So
you'd be singing along and
yes.
dancing and quoting all their favorite one-liners.
The vision just popped in my head too. So it's Anakin on the ground with his legs cut off, but it's Lego. So it's just the bottom half popped off perfectly. And they're both just separated on the side with the red coins. Oh man.
Just little red studs pouring out of Anakin's fucking groin or whatever.
Yes. It has been over an hour. I think we covered a lot of ground from metal discussion to YouTube, talking about good bands and
has
bad.
Has it really?
It
God
has.
Damn.
And we've also discussed
That's
Star
crazy.
Wars. I'm sure that will upset someone in the comments. If you're upset about our Star Wars discussion, have fun going to work and thinking about how you got upset at YouTubers talking about Star Wars in a negative hot light. Think about it. Okay, one final comment from...
Are we wrapping up?
I think we got to start wrapping up. I do have something. I know. One final comment. Do you want another Star Wars holiday special?
Yes.
If it's in Lego, absolutely. Yes.
You know what? I honestly think at this point, Disney should just embrace that shit. Like, why not?
See, 2024 Star Wars also would have the budget to make it whatever they wanted. Star Wars back in the late 70s, early 80s, when they did that, they didn't have the same budget.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell. So they could make it weird and intense. That would get people back to watch TV. I mean, they put it on Disney Plus probably, but still.
I would unironically love it if they did that shit. Like, why not? Like, honestly. I can't think of a reason not to at this. Like, they've done so many. They've got the Lego Star Wars cartoons. They've got that, like, Star Wars Jedi Destiny cartoon on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Like, why not? Honestly. At this
they
point,
could have.
Why not?
Chock full of cameos, chock full of
Which
music numbers. I mean, this holiday season,
nostalgia is all the rage right now.
It is.
You can tell a movie with nostalgia.
The holiday, the 2024 Star Wars holiday special only on Disney Plus. People would subscribe just for that.
Absolutely, and it's like this nostalgia is such a like. There are so many people that saw Spider-Man No Way Home. Not because they genuinely wanted to see what was going to happen.
No.
But because they knew that
all three.
Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield were going to show up.
Yep.
And all these
three.
Classic Spider-Man villains were going to show up. Nostalgia is such a huge factor. That's why Bad Boys is back. Mad Max, Planet of the Apes, and, you know, that's not to say that these franchises aren't fun.
Yeah.
By all means, enjoy them. But the reason that they're still around isn't because they felt they had a story to tell. It's because money. It's because nostalgia.
Sequels sell.
If they happen to also have a story. If they happen to also have a real story to tell, that's a plus.
Mm-hmm.
Like Anna and I saw, we saw Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes in the theaters the other day. Mm-hmm. And it was a genuinely great movie. But would it have been made if it were a completely original franchise? I don't think so.
Probably not.
Or at bare well minimum, said. It wouldn't have been as big of a hit, you know?
Well said, yeah. For those watching, this has been The Metal Meltdown coming on our channel. This is Rob. If you haven't subscribed yet, why haven't you? Because the link's in the description. You need to go click on that link right now and also hit the like button on this video. Would Uncle Melty like to say anything to the audience live right now? Any message or anyone watching the stream later, like watching the recap?
Sure. I'm not going to lie. I expected to go on for a bit longer, but hey, this is probably for the best. It's probably for the best.
Yeah. Because
Metal Meltdown live streams have the live streams on my channel have the tendency to go on for way too long. So this
gotcha.
Is probably for the best.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't actually talk much about metal. We just kind of ranted and raved.
We ranted, but that's okay. Exactly what this was. We advertised it as such. Yes.
That's okay, because if you like ranting and raving, then to go. I am a dumbass, I'm a moron, and I talk about music, and I like to have fun. And if you also enjoy all of those things, then you should definitely come say hello every now and then. I think so. I mean, I'm biased, but, you know, it's just a thought.
A well-said argument. You can find The Metal Meltdown again in the description. He has so much content out there, so many different topics he's covered. You should check it out right now.
We even did a video on country metal, which arguably isn't a real thing, but it kind of is.
It's becoming a real thing, that's for sure.
Oh yeah. We talked about like Panopticon and like Texas Hippie Coalition, and I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
The Devil Driver Outlaws Till the End album, which someone reminded me of section of that video. Shout out to that person. I don't remember your name, but you're cool.
Very nice. Everyone's saying happy Pride Month as well. Happy Pride Month to all of you.
Hell yeah. Shout out to all my gay, lesbian, trans, non-binary folks. Y'all are cool. Y'all are great. Love you.
Absolutely. As we say goodbye, remember, every time you hit the like button, how do we want to say this? If you hit the like button, Ronnie Radke will face plants on a live stage this summer. Every single
Everyone
time you hit the like button.
Subscribe.
Yes.
You need to.
You want that to happen, don't you? It's going to be worth seeing live. Thanks, everyone.